Get naked with the Can Man.
Uh-oh.
The Can Man.
Live from Canville's musty basement, it's the Can Man Show.
Welcome to the Can Man Show. Geeky, nerdy fun with four guys I know. Chad, Kev, and Butter is Jamie and Tim. I just can't wait for the show to begin. Welcome to the Can Man Show. 50 episodes down and more to go. I just can't wait for the show to begin. I have so much fun listening. Nerdgasm. The Can Man Show is a coming right at you. Geeky, nerdy fun with a guest interview. Come here to get news or chat with Butters and Stalker, or get your weekly fill of that Luke Skywalker. They're a lovable, huggable group of guys. The ladies be melting when we be walking by, discussing the movies, the updates on sci-fi. They're strong and handsome and sometimes shy, but always fly.
Not again.
Sometimes shy. Yep, it's me. I'm the Can Man guy. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Can Man Show. How's it going? Chuck slurping his beer. Joining me tonight is Chuck Cavanaugh. How you doing, Chuck?
I'm good, Chad. How are you?
Good. Jamie Kelly, after a bit of a hiatus,
yeah,
how you been?
Just a little bit. Howard, good.
I'm back second week in a row. Dan the man, Dan Alpers.
Very, yeah.
Dantastic.
Dantastic. I've been getting crap about that all week.
It's a Dantastic episode of the Can Man Show, episode 76, bitches.
Oh, I can't believe I missed 75. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, whatever. Well, it was a good episode without you. We had a good crowd here, man.
It's usually a good episode without me.
I guess.
In fact, you could probably chart the quality, and I'm the anchor that holds you back. You notice you had like 1,100 downloads last week.
Well, it was for the whole series, not just last week's episode.
Right.
So I mean, last week's episode we had a few downloads, but the whole month I look at the entire series, all 75 episodes. But the previous record was set back in June last year, where we had like almost 800 and.
I remember
almost 900. Really,
because I said that if we broke 1,000, then I would shave my head, and we didn't break 1,000.
Yeah, so. But we did. But I think it should be 1,000 per episode. Really, is when that's a fair.
I think if we reach 1,000 single episode download, I'll shave my head.
Yeah, we got a lot of triple digits, but not a lot of thousands.
As you can see, it's not a stretch. If Jamie
it's not,
shave his
there's
head.
Not a lot to go there.
And Chuck, on the other hand,
I don't know if I can offer that.
That's actually probably.
I'm like Samson. My strength is in my hair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Jim it is.
And
with your hat off, you look. I mean, everybody says you look like Keith Urban now.
Oh God!
With your hat on, you look like Richie Cunningham.
Really?
I always thought that.
Wow.
That's just quite just
dynamic
me.
There.
You know. So
I think he was more excited about the Richie Cunningham over the.
I think
Keith
I was.
Urban.
Yeah.
Were you really?
Yeah. Well, maybe.
So you're probably getting sick of the Keith Urban thing.
Kinda. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Living in Iowa.
I don't like what Keith Urban's got.
Well, that's true. Cunningham. He's got a. Yeah. Exactly. Got a nice, lovely Australian Catholic wife.
Yeah. Real quick, so I'm going to send a shout-out to the chat room. And there I see Tony from Vinton. Tony.
Yo.
From Vinton. And Roxy. Is that Roxy? Hi, Roxy. How are you? So welcome to the show, everybody. Hope you have having a good time so far. I know I had a good time on Friday night when I was freeloading. Chuck has this. You guys know about this. Those of you listening to a lot of the episodes, Chuck has this business. He's trying to start Leathers by Preston, where it's
Rise Above Leathers. See, Chad didn't learn anything. On
Rise
Friday.
Above.
That's just to show how drunk he was.
Rise Above Leathers by Preston.
Yeah. Exactly.
Really, they're by Chuck, which
just doesn't have the same ring as Preston, which
right.
is actually my middle name. So
yeah.
It's still legit.
It is.
Still me.
And you're too legit to quit.
That's right. I am.
But Elizabeth helps you with a little bit of a photo shoot.
Yes.
And
very.
Your cousin was there.
Erotic and provocative.
It was a little bit naughty.
Who is in this photo shoot? Who is the subject of these photos? Where might I find them?
No, well, it was a lot of.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of tattooed chicks.
Yeah,
which was hot.
A lot of several individual photos, but there was lots and lots of girl on girl stuff going on.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
I love
it.
Tattooed chicks.
Yeah, it was like Suicide Girl type girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was, you know, it's about the products. So we were really getting shots of the products that they were wearing while in these provocative poses. So
right on.
So yeah. And sex sells, let's face it. Come
on,
folks.
It does. It does.
Who am I kidding?
Yeah, and you bought beer. You bought beer for everybody.
I bought lots of beer, and I drank lots of beer.
Yeah, I did,
too. It was fun.
Well, I would hope so.
We started with Guinness and finished with Guinness.
Yes.
So.
Nice. And Chad was our comic relief for the night, so it was a nice aside because we were all... At least I was pretty stressed out because this was like a big milestone for me for getting the website going.
It's pretty exciting, dude.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. I mean, you put out a good, excellent product. Not just good, excellent.
Thank you.
I mean, I love your choker necklaces and your belts are kick ass.
Yeah,
so
I literally, the 2 days prior to that, I took off from my day job and it was like a sweatshop at my house, except it was just me. I was
there was no small Asian.
No, I was the 9-year-old Asian child sweating. Yeah, for like.
It's hard to find 9-year-old Asian children that are willing to work in America.
And
to go to China.
Tony asks,
tough.
What's a suicide girl? Go to suicidegirls.com. You'll figure it out.
Yes.
Is he at work right now? We probably should.
A Suicide Girl is the one iPhone app other than the Playboy app that they didn't take out of the...
They took it out.
Oh, they did take the Suicide Girl, finally? Yeah. They weren't gonna.
Yeah. Suicide Girls, they call it alt porn. It's softcore, you know, pretty girls that are tattooed,
yes,
and they like to show their boobies. And,
but you know what? Their website...
Thank you for that, Suicide Girls.
It was one of the... their website is actually a great social network for you know, people that dig tattoos. When I had the Corpses by Can Men business, I got a lot of business from the site, so
yeah,
I had a page there, but I haven't done any corpses in so long. That sounded wrong. I haven't made any corpses in so long.
That also sounds wrong.
Yeah, but corpse props. How's that?
So, missing coworker.
Yeah.
So, speaking of corpses, I was saying earlier, we found this just gorgeous, cute little pre-war house, and I'm really worried about it. Like, you know, they want so little money for it.
Yeah,
and I think it's because of the neighborhood, but it's like, you know, I'm worried, like, hobo graves.
Yeah.
Is there a hellmouth in the basement?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there's
previous
a gateway.
Previous owner was J.W. Gacy, and you just can't figure out what's...
Yeah.
There's a really weird smell in here. It's like, was it built on top of five different Indian burial grounds?
I don't know. Not there. I wouldn't say there.
Oh, no.
But, you know, if you were out by Seminole Valley Park, probably.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Mm. Well, my rule is, if I ever hear anyone say, leave this place, I leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude,
like, I'm down with
dude,
that.
I got to tell you, I had the creepiest thing happen to me the other day. On Friday, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Friday morning, I go upstairs to use the can. And she goes, hey, the medicine cabinet just opened by itself. And I go in there and it's standing open. I'm like, okay. So I'm sitting down here in the basement. I come back when I'm done, and I'm sitting here in the basement, and she had left to take the girls to school. And so it was me and myself and I. And I'm sitting over at my desk. I've kind of rearranged a little bit. And along the back of my office, I hung a big comforter, down comforter. And I was sitting here, and it looked like, I swear to God, somebody threw a baseball from this side of it into it. Just looked like somebody pushed on it. And I immediately got up and I'm like, okay, there's nobody here. What the hell just happened? So I'm sitting here like ghost hunters, like, okay, if there's anybody here with me.
Do it again.
Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Okay, there's nobody here.
Then your pants unbuckled and fell to your ankles.
Yeah.
Kick me in the chest.
One of those ghosts.
Yeah, one of those ghosts, like on Ghostbusters with Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Dana Dixon. But there was, my cat was upstairs, everybody was gone, I was by myself. It freaked the heck out of me.
Yeah. Indian burial ground, that's what it is.
My grandpa,
probably,
it probably is. I'm close enough to the river.
And then did the preacher come to the door?
No.
He didn't?
No preacher came.
God is in his holy temple.
No preachers come into the door. Oh, but it was freaky, man.
You're all
freaky.
Gonna die.
Yeah, but so you're looking at a new house,
house.
And for those of you who didn't get the memo, Jamie doesn't work at the Gazette any longer.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Jamie.
I now work at Cornell College. Yeah. It's an awesome gig. I'm not gonna talk about it too much, but it's a killer place to work.
Good.
So
good. And so congratulations on the new job. So.
Thank you.
Cool. And then Dan, you brought some beer. I haven't tried it yet.
It's quite good.
And because Tony was wondering what was in the...
It's really good.
Tony was wondering what was in the shot glasses. So what is this exactly?
This is called Baltica 5. It's a golden lager from Russia.
It's a golden lager from Russia.
Yeah.
It's kind of got a nice alcohol-y smell.
But since it wasn't good enough to win a gold medal, the president of Russia is probably going to kick its butt.
Isn't that Putin, is it?
No, I don't know.
Medvedev.
Okay.
Baltica 5.
Medvedev? Okay.
What could that stand for?
I have no idea, but I got to tell you, I'm a little bit pissed at the Russians right now because they keep trying to put spam on my website. They post Russian comments in Russian, and it's like I go to Google. Google's got this translator that'll translate Russian to English, so I'm copying the text in there just to see what they're posting. It's just one word, penis, or free sex, or
like Viagra or whatever. Yeah,
it's the same stuff you get Yeah, it's the same stuff you get in your spam filter, but they're posting comments.
Can you respond back to them?
Well, I can, but
Huttese or
something. Ha ha! You won the gold medals this year. You came sixth in medal race.
Yeah.
You will die.
Your women are hairy.
Yeah, I like that.
Kiss me or I crush you.
Exactly. It kind of tastes like bubble gum. It's kind of got a bubble gum.
It does. It's a little sweet. It's
formaldehyde
I like it.
And
I really
bubble
like it.
Gum. I would say
it's wicked.
And yes, the shot glasses are by Dixie. So,
they have ladybugs and bees.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, and little flowers.
I feel like I should turn in my man card. Thanks, Chad.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I saw the pinky out on Chad too.
You did you?
Ah.
Yep. So my daughter, you know, sold all those Girl Scout cookies, right? And for my friends that are listening, come pick up your cookies. Because we got them. Or I can deliver them to you, just, you know how
and
to get old.
The Canfields are having a blowout on the lemon ones that they recalled, so just so you know. Dysentery included.
No, it wasn't the lemon ones here. There was a different type of lemon cookie. Oh. So the lemonades are just fine. They didn't sell them in this market.
Just in case you order them from the Canfields, just wanted to...
Yes.
Give that public
service
announcement.
Who orders lemon cookies? You order Thin Mints, you order Samoas, or you order the shortbread cookies.
Those lemonades.
The Caramel Delights, though.
The Caramel Delights and the Tagalog.
Those things are
also.
Like crack.
The lemonades are actually pretty good. It's like they're like the shortbread with fudge, except for the fudge has got like a lemon tang to it.
And that's
it's pretty good.
That's delicious, but that's not a pure Girl Scout.
You said lemon tang.
No, it did. It had lemon tang.
Nice.
Shut up. At least I didn't say it had a poon. So anyway, so yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, there we go. But
and the big ox start early.
No.
Not to swear.
I am not swear. That was not a swear.
Yes, I know, but
just giving you crap.
Yeah, thanks.
Pretty much.
But the Girl Scout cookie thing, Christina. I gotta take my hat off to my wife because it showed my bald spot. But she did a great job getting the cookies delivered to the neighborhood. You know,
I think they actually have cocaine in them.
I think they do. I think he's got the same stuff that the Colonel puts in his secret recipe to make you crave it fortnightly.
Well,
so
we have
cocaine no tenders.
What?
Don't remember that?
What are you saying?
Cocaine no tenders.
From the Water Boy?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We still have a thing of Thin Mints in the fridge from last year.
Hey, they freeze well
in the freezer. In the freezer.
To do.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. But like they're hidden at the bottom, so you know every now and then I'll open up the freezer. And I'm like, I need to get back to those. So it's beautiful. Like it's Girl Scout cookie time again, and here I already have Girl Scout cookies without waiting for.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So yeah, the neighbors were all excited about getting them. So, yay neighbors. I said yay neighbors, not gay neighbors. Quit it.
Yay.
Yeah. Dan, you have been busy this week.
Apparently I have, and I at some point didn't even know it.
I saw you made the paper, or the at least, is that online?
That one I stumbled upon. No, I was in the paper yesterday.
Oh, you were in the paper yesterday. Yeah. You stumbled upon it.
Yeah, I had no clue that they had printed it.
So, really?
Yeah.
Like, wait, I'm in the paper. So it was about bringing the Freedom Festival for people like Zerby, who has no idea what that is. Around Independence Day, there's a big party that they have in Cedar Rapids. They call it the Freedom Festival. It's when we have our fireworks. But it like lasts for like a week or two.
About 2 weeks, yeah.
Where they have events going on all summer long. And it brings people to the downtown area and all over the town. But since the flood, they moved everything all the way out to Kirkwood Community College, for the most part, the big fireworks displays and everything. And it's not very conducive to car traffic. Having been a student there the first day of school, after that, I you know,
that's tough,
dropped out.
Yeah.
So, you know, your letter was about bringing the Freedom Festival back to downtown Cedar Rapids. Tell us a little bit more about what you're going for.
Well, pretty much just to bring it back. Apparently, the city council is dragging their feet on a few things, or that's what the media is leading us to believe. But the city council is supposed to vote on giving the Freedom Festival their downtown permit, but they are reluctant to because there hasn't been an inspection of the Maze Island parking ramp, and that is scheduled after the vote for the Freedom Festival permit. So what we need to do is rally around city council to expedite the process a little bit,
inspect the island because they don't think it's safe.
It's been 2 years. Right. They need to get on that. I'm kind of stunned that they haven't.
And the list goes on of things that they have yet to do.
Right, right. Well,
Ron Corbett's doing what he can, but that place was a cluster.
Yeah.
I mean, the previous city council had just... I love this. I get to say things. Like, I get to have opinions now.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to have.
You had opinions before.
I had opinions, I just couldn't voice them.
You did hear from time to time.
Yeah, there were moments.
Yeah, there were moments.
Yeah. But, no, they just have not... They should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah,
the lack of work that was put in and the lack of results is shameful.
Can almost climb the ladder to the top of FEMA and find problems all the way up.
Yeah. Well, I got to say they I don't know what I'm going to say, but the Theater Cedar Rapids at least is gotten some funding. But
that's such a high point. I went by. Since I don't go that side of town anymore, I'm heading out the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen their marquee.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome.
My wife said the first time she saw it, she almost teared up a little bit just because it's, see it there.
So dynamic.
And it's so cool looking, and it says, we're back.
With Cedar,
that's awesome.
With Theater Cedar Rapids, the thing that they had that really got them up over the edge was the year before the flood, they had just started a capital campaign. Yeah. To raise money to redo a lot of stuff in the theater.
And Ron Livingston kicked that off, didn't
he? Ron Livingston, who we talked about last week, did a video for him and said, hey, support these guys. I've been on their stage, give them money. And they did. They raised a lot of money. And then they got a grant, big grant, Vision Iowa funds, and then the FEMA dollars. And the support of the community has just been amazing.
Passionate community. Members.
A lot of volunteers and a lot of people giving their money too. Yeah,
I mean, it's because it's it's such a family to be part of. I mean, it's like they are my extended family, seriously. Yeah. And it's so exciting to see them in the new building. I cannot wait to get in there and just check it out.
Yeah.
So I have not done that yet, but hoping to very soon.
That's definitely one thing about Cedar Rapids. When it comes time to rallying together, we can make.
Sometimes. One of the things that with Cedar Rapids is a lot of people really just don't give a crap.
Yeah.
They live here and they sleep here.
They live
here, they sleep here, and they work, but they don't really participate.
Right. But they're the first ones to bitch about not being enough to do in this town, though, too.
That's what makes me angry. having seen three, four semi-pro basketball teams come in and fail because we didn't support them. What was the Barnstormers? The Cedar Rapids Barnstormers? The football team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They came in, the arena football team came and left because nobody supported them. The Colonels, I don't know how they get as much support as they do. But people actually go to Colonel's games. So
the interesting thing about the basketball team, though, and even the football team, and if you look at the concert venue, it all revolves around the Five Seasons Center.
Right.
Just kind of an interesting.
Well, one of the things that came up is they kind of, when I was a management intern for the Cedar Rapids Sharpshooters, back in '92, And the guy who ran the league had a real tough time with the management of the Five Seasons Center at that time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's still the same person, but really, it's like every turn that he made, she was like, nope, nope. And it's like, come on, guys. I got to say, I'm really happy that they are supporting the Roller Girls, mm-hmm. though. Yeah. And they're continuing with them.
That's pretty cool.
That's definitely a good time.
So that's good news. But
you're absolutely right. I mean, it's people, like, they live here. They complain there's nothing to do. And then you have a fantastic restaurant like Blend, which, mm-hmm. you know, you could argue about prices and whatever else. And they don't go down there, and it closes.
Mm-hmm. But the buzz that caused when it closed.
I hope so.
There was a lot of talk.
Mm-hmm. My
babysitter works for a coffee shop.
Rude Awakenings?
Yeah. And she one of my babysitters works for the one that takes Zoe to school in the morning.
Yeah.
Works for Brood Awakenings. And they did a preemptive strike and said, you know, put a call out to the community saying, hey, don't support us, we're going to close. You know, come see us. Come visit us. And she says they've been doing gangbusters business since then.
That's good news. That's my neighborhood coffee shop, so we go there a fair bit.
Well, yeah, and they've won, like, the coffee shop in Cedar Rapids or the choice, like, for the last how many years? I mean,
there's a couple good ones, but the one that they displaced when Theater Cedar Rapids died or whatever.
Downtown.
Yeah, downtown that was pretty coffee. Good. That was good. Good stuff. Yeah. But Brood Awakening is an excellent place right across from Coe College. They have one in St. Luke's, too.
A little kiosk or whatever.
Any other downtown businesses that Zins?
Zins, I mean, Zins is it's a truly unique dining experience that you'd expect in a bigger town.
Yeah.
It's definitely not Cedar Rapids.
It's definitely not something you'd expect to see in Cedar Rapids. It's, you know, they cook fantastic food. They do the small portion thing. Lunch is $8, including a dessert and a fountain drink.
Wow.
You know, mm-hmm. so it's like, it's fine dining, but it's not expensive by any stretch. So it's, you know, it makes me angry when I'd go down there for lunch and there's like, you know, five people in there. It's like, you're going to Sub City, you're spending $8.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I got to say, we went to Wasserbahn, and I'll get to that story later. Yeah. But on the way home, we stopped at Riley's. They have Riley's in Fairfax and one in Cedar Rapids on First Avenue. And I think they probably have another one. But the one in Fairfax, we stopped at on the way home and had breakfast. And last year for St. Patrick's Day, if you remember that because you were a little toasted, we ate breakfast there then too.
It's 8 in the morning.
Yeah. And you had a few shots. Yeah. Riley's is excellent too. So, you know, it's technically a downtown business currently. But the one in Fairfax, the breakfast was awesome. I got it. The bacon was like thick cut slab bacon.
Do fantastic breakfast.
Their pancakes, not quite as big as the Butterfly Cafe pancakes, were like the size of garbage can lids, but they're huge and they're thick. Yeah,
I love the Butterfly Cafe. It's the closest you can get to like that classic diner experience that I'm used to out east with entirely disinterested in your life staff.
Yeah.
Like they're there to give you food and they don't want to make conversation and I love that. Like they're not
Flow
rude to
you.
You know, another good diner in town is Gigi's. It's over on Center Point Road next to Wendy's.
I've never been
across
there.
From Donut Land. It's pretty good.
Isn't it?
They serve breakfast all the way around too. What?
It's fairly new, isn't it?
It's relatively new, yeah. They serve breakfast all day long. I love breakfast.
Well, if we're talking dining experience, the Londoner down on Center Point Road that just opened up is phenomenal.
So it's right English down, Scottish right down the street from my house.
Yes, it's right across from where Tommaso's is on Center Point Road.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a bar for a little while.
Yeah,
and
a little
then it closed
biker bar.
And then they just reopened it. It is unbelievable.
The Londoner.
Yes, I had a fish Reuben yesterday.
Nice.
And it was delicious. But they have typical like Scottish Irish fare
like
in there.
Fare.
And
how is the pricing?
Very reasonable. I mean,
really?
Yeah, $6 sandwiches and like the bigger like dinner type plates are $8 to $9. So
that's not bad.
It's you can literally gorge yourself in there. It was really good. So.
Cool. Cool. So the Londoner.
Yes.
The Londoner.
And a good environment. They show a lot of footy, as they call it, overseas, soccer.
Yeah.
And rugby games and things like that.
Oh,
so,
rugby?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool.
Cool. That's on it's almost on the corner of Center Point Road and 32nd Street.
Yep. Yeah.
So, but not quite there. But how about take a shot? Everybody's, somebody says something about dining. Where it's not hard liquor, Tony. We're not going to do shots.
It might be Russian, but it is still just a beer.
Yeah. It's just a beer. It's just a beer. Yeah, it's only a beer.
I kind of went ahead to Mount Vernon Cafe, the Greek place on Mount Vernon Road in like 30, it's not 34th Street, but you know
Memorial
where it is.
Memorial Drive.
Memorial Drive, thank right. you.
I've
never been there.
Really?
I hear it's delicious. And now I'm going by it every single
Thanks,
day.
Thanks, Roxy.
And I'm like...
And I've been... there's another Mediterranean on by the Blue Moon, or the... What's the... Thai Moon, by Thai Moon over on... Johnson.
Yeah, they do like... Yeah, it's like...
It's pretty good. I ate there for the first time last week, too. Like
yeah, I'm a big fan of that place. Yeah. It's...
And they also own a hookah bar now, which I'm excited to try.
So that's... Where's that at?
The hookah bar is next to the strip mall there by the post office on... what's the street that runs behind Toys R Us there on the west side?
Oh, yeah.
Help me.
Gosh, I don't know.
There's a strip mall where there's like the bridal boutique and the egg roll house is in
that,
there.
Yeah. They use the game shop there, too.
Yeah, there's a hookah bar now in Cedar Rapids.
Wow.
Nice.
We should do the next Can Man Show, a live podcast from the hookah bar.
From the hookah bar.
Awesome.
That would be sweet.
Nice. I love hookah bar. Actually, I just started trying this e-cigarette thing. They gave the Gazette one to like review, and I was like, well, okay. And I never got around to it, and I took it with me when I left. So I plugged it in and I charged it up, and over the weekend I was trying it out, and I think I'm actually gonna switch.
You know
what are they? I haven't.
You know Tim was here. Oh gosh, when we still had this upstairs in Zach's room, Charlie Barnes' dad is the one who brought that over here.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are those the ones that are like the size of a Wii remote, and you're like, you
well,
have
and
to
that's,
hold them out here? And they're
that's
like,
the thing is, like the one that
bad.
They gave us
it looks
has
like
this.
It's a bad
it looks
thing.
Like it looks like the bastard child of a Bic pen and a cigarette holder. So it has this like
it's
big
like
huge thing at the
long.
End, and it you know it does nicotine vapor instead of tobacco smoke, so it doesn't have the harmful side effects of the tar and whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I actually found one that
Tim was in there smoking it.
Yeah, I actually really liked it, other than the fact that it looks like it, if Cruella De Vil were a steampunk character, this is what she'd smoke.
Wow. Awesome.
But I actually found a really cool one that's it's all black. And it has a blue edge so people don't mistake it for smoking, like when you pull it out in a bar or someplace you're not supposed to be. So they don't be like, stop smoking that cigarette in here because it's not like red.
Yeah, well, but it lights up a cherry when you suck on it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a blue light at the end instead of a red one. But this is actually the same size and weight as a cigarette, the one that I bought that's coming, which is nice. So it doesn't look... It still looks a little bit ridiculous.
Does it give off any, though,
like it's
mist
a vapor.
Or... Okay.
It's a water vapor. So it looks like you're smoking, but it doesn't smell. Like I was.
Yeah, it comes out of your mouth like steam.
Yeah, like smoking.
Really?
Yeah.
The smell?
No smell at all.
Really?
It's weird. It's suspended in propylene glycol, which is a food additive.
Yes. Yes.
But it's an alcohol, so it dries your mouth out. I think more than smoking does, in some ways.
Yeah, imagine that. I think that's the stuff that makes that the propylene glycol is what makes the KY Extreme work, is
really?
What I was reading. Yeah. When you put that dot,
the stuff that cools or the stuff that warms.
That's isn't that the same thing that's an antifreeze?
No, it's diethylene glycol.
Okay, whatever. Shut up, chemist. You're a chemist, aren't you?
So you're saying you want to sit on one of these things after you're done
Damn
smoking
right.
it?
Damn right.
Oh,
I'm not going to smoke it. I don't
come
smoke.
Come on, Chad.
So.
Sit on my cigarette to tell
me that you love me. Yeah.
So
life
so
can be fine
I'll
if we both 69. Wait.
I will. I'll probably bring that in when I get it, so I can
please.
Smoke during the show.
Yes, that would
and
be
look
great.
Like I told my brother.
A lightsaber in your mouth.
I emailed him, and I'm like, I'm going to get this, and he's like, well, it can't possibly be worse than smoking. And I it's one of those things I've sort of accepted it. It's going to make me look douchey, and I'm okay with that. Like, I just...
Who's this guy?
Yeah, exactly.
What's
going to be like...
What a douche.
What's this guy got?
It's going to be like... Yeah, it's going to be like, oh, there's that douchebag
with the blue cigarette.
With the electronic cigarette.
I wonder if they make skins for it on, like, skinit.com. You can get your own skin made for your e-cigarette.
Get a Can Man shoe.
The problem I have is, it looks like a one-hitter.
No, even better.
So like,
do you have to keep lighting it?
That's what I'm a little bit worried about. No, you don't. But I'm like just a little bit worried that I have this thing that looks like a cigarette but isn't a cigarette, and the police are going to be like, what the very interested in that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what, guys? Let's real quick take a quick break. On the break, I've got an interview that it's a Star Wars Minute that Ryan Schoenhardt did with Chris the Candyman. Not the Can Man, the Candyman of the 501st.
Central Garrison.
Yep, Central Garrison. He's the, well, listen to the interview. But Star Wars Minute right now. Turned up. Here we go.
This is the Star Wars Minute with Ryan Shonhart. And I am your host.
All right. Tonight I'm joined by Chris Andrews, who is a member of the 501st Legion Costuming Group. Thank you for joining us, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Chris, can you tell us a little bit about the 501st for the people that don't know what you guys are and what you guys do?
Well, first and foremost, the 501st Legion is a volunteer costuming group. What makes us really different from a lot of other costuming groups is that a large part of our energy goes into doing charitable works, doing things that help kids, help charity organizations. We try to do good with what we've got.
And it's a Star Wars organization.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I do so much Star Wars stuff, I kind of take that for granted anymore. Yeah, exactly. It's Star Wars costuming. Yep.
And I know because, you know, I've been around with you guys and been at a couple of events here. But in the 501st is primarily you guys are the bad guys of the Star Wars universe, correct?
No, it's those Jedi that are the bad guys. So
okay, for most people, for the regular fans out there, you guys would be considered
the bad guys of the universe. We're the villains, right?
Yeah. Mostly like the Stormtroopers, Darth Vader, and so on and so on, right?
Yep.
Why'd they pick the bad guys? Do you know why the bad guys were the ones? I mean, you would think that the little kids, because you mentioned working with little kids and stuff, you would think that they'd be scared of you. How does the public, especially the little kids, how do they react to you guys when you show up?
Well, there's a mixed reaction. Generally, we either get, the super excited, oh my God, I can't believe I'm seeing what I'm seeing, or the... wow, what am I looking at? I'm scared to death, but I don't want to stop looking at it.
is that the reactions the parents give you or the kids give you?
The kids. And the scared ones, they're like hiding behind mom's leg and kind of peeking around. They're fascinated, but they don't want to get any closer.
Sure.
But for the most part, it's kids just, the big, huge grin and the big wide eyes and just like, wow, those are the real guys. That's the reaction you want.
It probably definitely helps with the cartoon, the Clone Wars being out, and the clone soldiers being so close to looking like the Stormtroopers. But yeah, that's helped you guys a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah. And we've even had several of our troopers that have either retired or sold their Stormtrooper armor just to build some of the clone armor out so that they can have, some of those out for those kids that are really, really getting into that. To address the question that you asked me first, why the villains? I've even asked Albin Johnson, who's the founder of the 501st, about this, and his reaction were the costumes are just cooler.
I have to agree, they are. And it almost seems like, because like with the Han and the Lukes, you almost kind of have to look like them a little bit.
Yeah.
And since most of the bad guys wear masks or some kind of helmets, anybody could almost do it.
Yeah, there's an element of anonymity that comes with being able to put the helmet on. Is you're kind of freed a little bit. You can be, strange and silly and, be this larger than life character. Whereas, in like a Jedi or X-Wing pilot or something like that, you've got to, have the facial reactions and the voice and, really put a lot of energy into the character. It's, I definitely, my hat's off to those guys. They really got to put a lot of heart and a lot of hard work into maintaining those characters like that.
Well, let's throw a little plug in for them. Is there a costuming group for the good guys?
There are several, but really the prominent one, the one that's considered our sister organization, is the Rebel Legion. And they are, top-notch professionals. We try to incorporate them as much as they can, as we can, into any events that we have, and they do the same with their events.
How did you personally get involved with the 501st?
Oh, let's see. Where did I see them first? I think it was probably Star Wars Insider magazine, where I in Bantha Tracks, Mary Franklin's column in there where she was talking about some of the charitable stuff. And, you know, I'd seen guys in costumes before, but then I read about what they were doing. And, you know, these are the cool dark side guys, but then they're doing all this great work, and that just clicked. It just made sense. I was like, that is for me. That's what I want to do.
Did you do costuming before?
No, I had no. I mean, I'd always liked, you know, throwing on costumes and, you know, going to a costume party or dressing up, you know, even well into, you know, my adulthood, dressing up for Halloween and stuff like that. But I'd never done any serious costuming before.
And you have a special role, especially with the local group here. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'm the commanding officer of the Central Garrison. Garrison is basically how the Legion is divided up regionally. As I'm sure you know, we're worldwide. We're on every continent. We're in, I don't know, I don't even know how many countries, over 20 now.
There was at one time, I do know that there was somebody on Antarctica.
Yes, yep. We are very proud of that fact that a trooper who is a researcher took his armor out to Antarctica just to be able to troop with the penguins and say that the Empire had been on every continent. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
With costuming and stuff, have you always been a stormtrooper, or is this a newer costume for you in the 501st? And do you ever want to change, maybe do something else?
Oh, I want to do them all. Yeah, stormtrooper has been pretty much all I've done. But yeah, I would. There are so many.
There are
the Mandalorians, the Fets, the, you know, the Sith Lords, a lot of the expanded universe characters, Imperial Knights. You know, there's just so many cool characters that if I had the money to do them and do them right, I would have an insane collection.
Well, that's a good lead into this, but roughly for, like, say, the TK for the Stormtrooper armor, what are you talking about for cost wise?
For a basic kit, you're talking anywhere from $500 to $700.
Okay.
And it can go up from there. There are varying levels of accuracy and quality of materials. And then there's always add-ons. The Stormtrooper is no different from any of the costumes in that you're never finished. There's always tweaking, always modding, always adding. There's, you know.
One of the big modifications that I've seen when I've been around you guys is fans.
Get
pretty warm in there.
Yeah. Luckily, being the Stormtroopers have the white armor, they stay cooler than on a lot of them. Like the Darth Vader, I have seen those guys after, you know, a midsummer troop that they look like they're going to melt. It gets pretty brutal. But even the Stormtrooper, you know, we get really hot in there.
What would you say is the most expensive costume or the most that you've heard of somebody putting into one of their costumes?
Because I know the
Boba Fett's are pretty expensive.
Yeah, Boba Fett's get really expensive, especially if you want to do a nice one. And there are no more obsessive fans than your Boba Fett's. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know anybody that knows the history and details of their costumes better than the Boba Fett's. But yeah, I've seen those get $4,000, $5,000, $6,000.
And I was lucky to see there was a couple of them down at Dragon Con last year, and they had some beautiful costumes, and it was like looking at Boba Fett from the movies. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And most of the costumes, I mean, you guys have to be screen accurate to be in the 501st, isn't that correct?
Yep, that is correct. We have an approval process in order for it to be an approved 501st costume. We have our local, like I said, we're segmented into regional units of garrisons, and each garrison will have its own membership officer that has to look over the costumes and make sure that they're adequate, and then he sends it off to the Legion level membership officer, who's Thomas Spanos at this point. Mm. Who goes through and checks over the details and makes sure that, you know, buttons are the right color, the, you know, armor's being worn right, you know, all the little details are correct.
And are all the costumes, you mentioned the expanded universe, mm-hmm. to be in the 501st, do you have to be one of the costumes. Sorry, one of the costumes that come from the movies, or can you do something that's, you know, been in the comic books or in a video game and so on?
There's been some variation. The basic rule is that if a character has appeared in at least three different formats. If it's been in a video game and in a book and a comic book or in a TV show, you know, like the animated series, and then it's had a toy in a video game that it's been in, and there's enough consistency with the, you know, the details of the costume, then it can be submitted as a costume. But yeah, there are tons of just gorgeous expanded universe, which for anybody that doesn't know, that those are the ones that aren't, you know, directly from the movies, the ones that are from the extra material, books, comic books, video games.
So, like, say, one came out a couple years ago and is actually coming out again this year is The Force Unleashed. So possibly you could do one of the characters from there, like Starkiller.
Yeah, there have been, even before the video game out, there was a bunch of those that popped out, a bunch of the different varying costumes for Starkiller, Juno Eclipse. I'm trying to think. I know there's a couple other. Oh, some of the troopers from that have been pretty popular lately too.
Sure. And if somebody wanted to put together a costume, where would be a good place to look for to get information on this and other things about the 501st?
Well, I can't stress this part enough. The best thing to do if you're looking to build a 501st costume is get in touch with your local garrison. You can go to 501st.com, and from there, there's a little tool on there that's find troopers near you, and that'll point you in the direction of your local garrison. And those guys will help you find what's right for you in terms of cost, in terms of, you know, your skill and craft level, and what they can help you out with. And, you know, that seems to be the best way to really get integrated in and get to know your troops too before you get out and troop with them, so that, you know, by the time you hit the field with them, you've already developed a bond and a relationship with these guys.
And that's probably pretty important, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like, yeah. Absolutely.
For most of the costumes, are most of them, do most people build their own costumes, or is there a place you can buy them? Like, maybe somebody's getting out of the club, you know, or needs some money and they're selling something. Is that, because I don't think you guys are, I know the club is Lucasfilm approved, but selling costumes, they probably frown upon, don't they?
Yep, you're right on there. We can help each other out is kind of how we work. We have some members that may build, you know, armor kits that, you know, are just basically the molds of their sculpts of the armor, and you can buy those. And then, you know, depending on your skill level, like I said, if you don't know how to do a particular thing, you can find another member that can. And you can either, you know, in some cases pay them, some cases all you got to do is buy a six pack and a pizza, you know, and they'll come over and they'll help you build it and help you figure it out, you know.
I've also seen that I believe Museum Replicas is starting to do costumes licensed by Lucasfilms.
Yeah, there are some licensed materials that are up to Legion quality. There are some that get close but aren't quite up to snuff, like the Rubies makes some costumes that, you know, some of them look really nice, but they're just not quite accurate enough that if they're, you know, the problem is if you wear one of those that isn't quite up to accuracy and everybody else's is,
you stand out.
Exactly.
So you'd recommend go if you're thinking of getting into it, especially because of the expense, go out to the site, do some research, ask some questions first before you throw down $100 on a Ruby helmet.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Great. You guys also have some special awards that you guys give out. Isn't that correct?
It varies from area to area. We have, like, for Legion level, we'll have Trooper of the Month, and then, like, Trooper of the Year. Generally, those are given to, you know, somebody that's just been outstanding for one reason or another, that's gone above and beyond and, you know, helping another trooper out, or, you know, charity work. We had a trooper, I think, last year that actually donated a kidney to another trooper.
Wow.
You know, and that's that was a gimme. He was Trooper of the Year right away. No question about that.
What about, like, the I'll call it quote-unquote civilians, us non-customers? You guys are giving out, and this will come out after this Friday, so we won't have to worry about that. But you guys give out some awards for some other things too, don't you?
Yes, we do. We have honorary members, and that's there are two levels. There's the honorary member and then friend of the Legion, and the differentiation there is an honorary member is somebody who has contributed to licensed Star Wars material, Star Wars artists, directors, actors that have acted in the films or, you know, done voice acting, that kind of thing. Last year we inducted George Takei, who was Sulu off the original Star Trek, as an honorary member because he did some voiceover work in the Clone Wars animated series. And coming up here, we're going to induct Brian Humphrey, just world-class photographer, as a friend of the Legion because of all of the outstanding photography that he's done for troopers all over the place at different conventions around the country. And then locally, he has allowed us to come and do these outstanding photo shoots for, and hasn't charged us anything because of the love and support that he has for what we do.
You do know this is going to make his ego really big now.
That's all right. I love the guy.
I'm going to get personal here, and if you don't want to answer it, that's fine. But
hit it.
Going back to the charity work that you guys do and working with the kids, at, say, like at the hospitals and stuff,
right.
What was, you know, either, you know, like your favorite troop or maybe your hardest troop that you had to do, if you've had the opportunity to do one of those kind of troops. Tell us a little bit about, you know, this kind of stuff you do for the kids at the hospital.
Sure. Actually, I've done several of those events. We did a University of Iowa Hospital troop where we went up for their movie night, and they were showing Star Wars, and we went up there, and you could see that a lot of those kids who were, you know, several of them were chronic or terminal cases that, you know, either were going to be in hospitals their whole life or, you know, maybe didn't have a whole lot of time left, and you could see that there was some fatigue on them. But just to see them light up and smile was just pretty intense. Like you said, watching that movie, it really taps into all that, and it's there's some tears going on under those buckets. You know?
One of the times you're happy to have a helmet on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Turn the mic off.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But Chris, I want to thank you for joining us and giving us some information about the 501st. Hey, maybe we'll get some, you guys will get some more members here from.
Absolutely, yeah. Glad to do it anytime, man.
Would it be wrong to say to somebody from the Empire, then, may the Force be with you?
Not at all.
All right.
May the Force be with you as well.
All right. Thanks very much.
All right, not a problem.
Medusa! Lovely fumble. All right. Oh, you got a little preview of the next song, the song at the end of the show.
Lord.
Hey, welcome back. I know that was a little bit more than a Star Wars minute. That was like a Star Wars 10 minutes.
Star Wars
saga.
20 minutes.
Star Wars nearly a half an hour.
That was episode 8.
You know
8.
What? I listened to the interview this morning, and I'm like, oh, it was so good. I could have split it up into two different episodes, but I'm like, oh.
You blew your wad in all.
Yeah, I did.
Shot.
It was a good it was a very interesting interview. It was poignant. Ryan did a great job. Thanks to Chris the Candyman for doing that with Ryan. He did it with Ryan. But great.
Stormtroopers know how to do
great,
it.
Great interview. The 501st is it's just a great thing to be part of, I would imagine.
The 501st is very much a sickness.
It is.
Once you see what they get involved with, you really like want to don the armor.
It's like the Shriners. It's like the any organization except for you get to be dressed up in really awesome Star Wars outfits.
If there are any Shriners that are a member of the 501st, the Stormtrooper, and then the Fez goes on top of that.
That'd be awesome.
That'd
yeah.
be when Star I was, Wars Fez.
When I was at Trek Fest down at Riverside, they were down there, and they have the really cool voice modulators that a lot of the guys do when they're like on the higher end.
Voice modulators?
Yes, they sound like they sounded in the movie.
Oh, cool.
It's very cool.
Wow.
So,
what? TK-427.
Oh, yeah.
Is it 427?
TK-421. 421.
The cargo hold.
That was close.
That was nice. Like that? Do that again.
Put Captain Solo in the cargo hold.
Wow. Now do it like, what's his nuts? The guy that they changed the voice to. What's his name? The actor.
Tamara Morrison?
Yeah.
Isn't that his name?
Yeah.
Do it. Can do it like it.
All right. That's right. You don't need to. You did it like the real Boba Fett.
That's right.
Screw those guys.
Yes.
Didn't Jeremy Bullock do the actual voice?
I don't think he
did. No, he didn't. I asked him. Because
he's got a British accent. Oh.
He's done it before.
Yeah, he did the.
In something, he did it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he lied to me then. Jeremy Bullock, you're a liar.
No.
I kill you. I fart in your general direction. So, speaking of good movies,
mm-hmm.
I understand that Clash of the Titans comes out on DVD this week.
Yes, I think tomorrow. Blu-ray tomorrow.
Blu-ray, the original Clash of the Titans.
Yes.
Find and to fulfill your
destiny. It was 1980, wasn't it?
1980?
Yes.
Yeah. It came out about the same time Empire came out.
80 or 81.
Real close. Because
it kind of filled in that void that I had after... They stopped playing Empire Strikes Back on HBO.
It was so bad. I could watch
Clash of the Titans 80,000 times.
Dark period. Yep.
Yeah.
Dark times.
I remember the really cool toys that came out. There's only like the Kraken.
Yeah, there's only like
the
eight
Medusa.
Of them.
What else was out there? Do you know?
Medusa.
The Kraken was
the Pegasus
huge.
Was like impossible to find.
Right. Yeah. I remember looking. I found them at JCPenney when I was a kid. That was.
I had like two of the figures. I had Perseus and Calibos, I think, as a kid.
Yeah. Nice. So it's out on, I saw it on Netflix. It's on Netflix as well.
I will be at Best Buy tomorrow getting the Blu-ray.
Blu-ray.
Yes.
That
you
good.
You can see every little
supple part of Medusa's breasts.
Is that Harryhausen? Did Harryhausen do
all of the strings attached to the
That's
horrible,
right.
Yeah.
All the Harryhausen wires. And
We like I was saying earlier, we watched that movie when I was in Latin class in high school because my teacher was terrible and didn't want to teach to us. And figured that a movie stretched out over the course of a week would be an excellent way to not teach us. And we loved it because there's like at least two scenes where there are boobies.
Yeah. That was the whole reason I watched the original, Romeo and Juliet. Because there's boobies in that.
Oh, yeah.
I was all excited about that.
And they would show that in school.
Yeah, they showed it.
And they would say not to laugh.
Yeah, but those don't even count because they're like claymation nipples. I mean, that doesn't even...
Are they like...
Yeah, nope. That's kind of like getting all hot and bothered over hentai.
Or marionette puppets.
Yeah, fair enough.
What's wrong with that?
Well, that's true. Although that scene in like Team really America getting, was pretty...
Really getting wood.
Pretty hot. Good one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just don't tell a lie.
Yeah.
Nice.
Pinocchio porn. Nice.
Sit on my face. What?
There we go again.
Wow. Nice.
We know the title of this episode.
Not episode 69, is it?
No. Pinocchio porn.
No, it's sit on my face. That's the name of this episode.
No, it's not the name of this episode.
Wow. Mrs. Doyle hops online and all of a sudden we get dirty.
Yeah, it's because we're all hot and bothered by Mrs. Doyle. Aren't we all?
I am.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Woo!
Hi, Mrs. Doyle. I love you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
I know Mrs.
Do you
Doyle.
Guys? Do you guys watch any? You guys have Netflix?
We don't.
Not anymore. Yet. I'm tossing it around because they have that Watch It Now feature that would be great on the road for me.
See, we stopped getting it right before they introduced the streaming because Emily was on the 3 plan. And we'd get 3 movies, and they'd sit on the coffee table for like
3 months,
3.5, 4 months.
Yeah.
And then we'd be like, "Oh, well, we should just return this
rent to own."
We're never watch it. Yeah, exactly.
With the streaming, dude, I've been watching it for 2 weeks.
Well, the thing is, with the streaming, you know, I'm talking about hooking my old computer up to the TV anyway.
Yeah.
And you know,
Netflix, the internet app is not HD, but they do have HD through the streaming devices.
Right, the Blu-ray and whatever.
The Blu-ray. Yep. So the I've been catching up on shows that I didn't get to see when they were on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been watching the BBC Robin Hood.
Oh, nice.
That show is phenomenal. I think it only lasted 3 seasons. I heard they were canceling it after the 3rd season, but I don't know for sure. I haven't researched that entirely. Mm-hmm. But the guy they've got playing the sheriff of Nottingham, amazing. He's the perfect bad guy. It's written very well. A lot of swashbuckling, a lot of archery. Nice.
Chad, it's BBC America. Of course, it's written very well.
Well, yeah, that's true. But the episodes are great. But so many they throw in little things in there, like one of the episodes was titled "Who Shot the Sheriff?" Nice. And the sheriff goes, "I shot the sheriff," and he goes, "But you didn't shoot the deputy." And I thought that was
that was pretty
awesome pretty that they did that.
Somebody else smoked a big ganja.
Yeah, they passed the Ducci to the left hand side, but. You know, the show.
The blue lidded cigarette.
Blue lidded cigarette.
Yeah, exactly.
The
douchey. Blue LED cigarette.
The douchey. That's
what we call it. So everybody's passing Jamie now to the left hand side. Harsh, harsh. So, but.
I need to convince my wife. I still have not been able to convince her that we need a flat screen, let alone a Blu-ray player.
So, wow.
Oh, my.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Now that you're making the big bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Those huge college bucks.
Yeah.
Because higher education is so much more lucrative than journalism. Even yet.
That's right. So there you go. Hey, cool. Facebook is now on Zune HD. I haven't heard that yet, Tony. I'll have to check it out. I get Facebook on my Zune HD now. Nice. So what, you know what I'm doing after the show?
So you're going to get a Windows Phone 7 series because they hate their customers so much.
They changed the name to something like. Massive.
Well, yeah, it's terrible.
Windows Phone 7 series.
Yeah, Windows Phone 7 series.
Couldn't they just call it the Windows 7 phone? Windows Phone 7 series.
It's terrible.
I don't know.
But it looks really cool, actually, I think.
It does.
I think.
Ms. Doyle says Blu-ray is good.
Blu-ray
and it
is
multiple,
good.
Multiple thing.
Spaced out on Blu-ray there.
Yeah, spaced out on Blu-ray. Going back to Robin Hood, though, you really have to check that show out. Season 1 and Season 2 are out there that you can stream. Season 3, you can only get the discs for. But, you know, it's cool. I also got... They don't have True Blood on the streaming, but I got the discs. Watched the first 2 episodes of True Blood on from HBO. That's pretty awesome. It's well done. Nice. Well done.
Just wait till that last episode. It'll make you mad that it's not out on... Season 2 is not out on disc yet.
Nice. Really?
Yeah. Really,
and the thing is, with
hanging.
The streaming, the cheapest streaming plan is $9. You get one disc at a time.
Yeah,
$8.99. So that's
you can stream all you want.
That's pretty good.
I have been, you know, with little kids too. I mean, Netflix is not sponsoring us, but they could. But the kids' videos, there's lots of like Barney and Dora and
Mr. Rogers.
Well, there's no Mr. Rogers that
Chad learned his ABCs, is he?
Yeah, yeah.
Has he learned how to count to 10?
I have. I've learned to count to 15, actually.
Wow.
In Spanish.
Getting shouted at by Dora.
Yeah, but... count the turtles!
Swipe or no swiping!
Yeah.
Yeah, you say that 3 times. I think what we should do... Hey, Jamie, you need somebody hanging out in your neighborhood. Standing outside the door of the Hy-Vee or wherever else people thieve stuff.
Swipe or no swiping!
My wife's car, occasionally.
Oh, no. That just happened. Punk ass, no swiping! Sorry. Gangsta, no swiping.
Gangsta, no swiping. You got to say it 3 times.
Though. Oh, yeah, sorry.
It's kind of like Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
Backpack.
Yeah. Climb the map! Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, those of us with small children, I feel your pain.
Wow. So, the... Tony's saying that Facebook is now on Zoo HD. No, it's not a Windows PS7 preview. Phone Series 7 preview. It only shows how it looks on the Zune HD. And it says something about overreacting. Zune HD. I'm still going to, if it's out there, I'll put it on there.
Yeah.
The Twitter app I was very disappointed with that they put on the Zune HD because to type on the itty bitty screen that when you have it lengthwise, it doesn't
to put together a Windows version of the iTampon or
whatever. Well, when you turn it, it doesn't turn. You're getting the iPad.
Buy an iPad. I wasn't here for that, but yeah, I'm buying it.
Okay.
It replaces what I use my laptop for, which is sitting on the couch surfing the web, using Facebook, using Twitter.
Why not get a Dell tablet?
Because the Dell tablet is smaller, like 5 inches.
That one. But why not get one of the, you know, wait a little bit. Because you know the Dell tablet's going to come out huge.
I went Mac and I'm never going back. So.
Seriously?
I love my iPhone. The iPhone operating system is fantastic. And everyone's like, oh, it's just a big iPod Touch. Well, first of all, a big iPod Touch is in and of itself a pretty awesome thing. Second of all...
Yeah, can you imagine wearing that thing on your wrist when you're running?
Yeah, it does. It does a lot of stuff.
I'm just going to Velcro... Just sew a Velcro pad to your chest.
Flavor Flav.
And just say... And to put things in perspective, when the Nexus 1 hits Verizon and my contract's up in July, I'm going away from AT&T and I'm going with the Nexus 1, an Android phone. Like, it's not... I love iPhone, but I hate AT&T. But, you know, I think the iPad's a pretty awesome thing.
Yeah.
You know, cool. It fills in...
I love my MacBook.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that good?
It's seriously.
I have
so
a desktop to do...
I love it.
Heavy word processing, video editing, photo editing, all that stuff. All I need
for... at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And no crashing, and if one crashes, it doesn't put the whole machine out of whack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Chad, join the club.
Yes, exactly.
You know, since Vista, I have not had any problems with crashing.
You know, I just uploaded...
Wait, Vista...
Yeah, since Vista, I've not had any blue screens of death, ever.
I just updated, because I was on the release candidate, to Windows Professional 7.
Yeah.
I had zero problems with Windows 7 and the release candidate. Like, literally 9 months, no problems. I've had the full version of Windows 7 on my computer for 2 weeks. The screensaver I have that worked fine with release candidate 7 crashes the machine. My iPhone and my iPod no longer sync with the computer at all.
Bastards.
Ow.
I plug it in and it says not recognized.
Wow.
And I'm like, why are you doing this to me? Why do you hate me so much?
Yeah.
Steve Ballmer, there is a price on your sweaty, sweaty head.
Insert Chuck's Boba Fett impression here.
But Captain Bar.
Can't keep it together.
Can you do it? Put Captain Bar in the collar hold.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah.
Yes. Away put your iPad. I mean you no harm.
Anyway.
So I finally saw a clip from the Clone Wars cartoon show.
Yeah.
You finally saw it.
I have not been.
Oh.
It's fantastic.
Yep. Yeah, it is good.
Season
it
two
really
is much better than season
the
one.
Movie's a piece of crap.
Okay.
I mean,
oh, the movie. Yeah, I went to that.
But, you know, I was very disappointed in that. But I watched a few episodes this season and it's... Well written. The animation is beautiful.
Yeah, the animation was
the whole Mandalorian thing came out, right?
Just yeah, I heard about the Mandalorian thing.
Yep.
But
I haven't seen it, but I
there's a lot of people that were pissed about it. Ryan mentioned it a couple Star Wars minutes ago. And they rewrote the whole Mandalorian backstory, saying that they're all pacifists.
Hmm.
And
not the entire thing.
Okay, whatever. Well, I don't know because they basically rewrote the backstory to
the Mandalorians are now a race of people that live on a planet, and there is a sect of individuals that want to
be pacifists,
be part of the separatist movement.
Okay.
So they're separating from the pacifist movement and becoming what's called the Death Squad.
Okay.
Shout out to Kat Tabor if she's listening. Thank you.
I understand that no one gets to talk to Dan when the Clone Wars is on. That's what Miss Doyle says.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. When the kids are running around, they get yelled at.
Yeah, no one gets to talk to Dan when a lot of things are on. But if he cares
about
what he's
Survivor, there was a night we were afraid that we were going to have company on Survivor night.
Mm-hmm.
So we locked up the house. We moved our cars to the next block. Parked them on the street, shut all the curtains, turned all the lights off, and watched Survivor in the dark, and locked the doors and made it so that it was as if nobody was home, because we were not.
It's a lot of work.
Not
you're
going
a
to be bothered.
Sick man.
But it's not just Survivor. I've
yeah.
got Clone Wars and when Dollhouse was on and Heroes yeah. and.
It's called a DVR and pause.
Now. Back in the day, we didn't have that luxury. And
okay.
VCRs were
covert.
Were crap.
I do love
it was covert. I was rolling on the ground, doing army crawls
belly
back to my crawling. House. Yeah.
And walk underneath the windows.
And suddenly, out of nowhere, the started playing and out of nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
I accepted the mission and the tape did blow up.
Wow.
Tape, what is that?
Yeah, no kidding. I got smacked the other day at Zoe's birthday party. My my stepmom says that she has a VCR slash DVD player.
People are still buying those. I saw one at a checkout line at Christmas time. I wanted to ask these people what the hell their problem was.
She goes, well, I can't get my VCR to work. And I said,
do you need a doorstop?
I said to her,
I'll make you one.
What's a VCR? And she hit me.
Oh.
See, I can't get my VCR to work. Have you tried going back in time to the mid-1990s?
You're two formats behind.
Yeah.
You know, if you're watching, you know.
My wife bought a VHS DVD player in, like, 2003 because she had all these Reading Rainbow, like, videotapes that she'd gotten off of eBay, and she wanted to be able to watch them.
Butterfly in the sky.
I love Reading Rainbow.
I can fly twice as high.
But, like, you know, like, for
in that case,
take
too.
A look.
Yeah, he is.
It's in the book. The you know, Reading
like when
Rainbow.
She's babysitting or whatever, you know, for she had so she had the videos she could.
I can do anything.
Get into it.
Sorry,
that's awesome.
I love LeVar Burton.
I'm down, man.
He's quite
that
show. Pimp.
But we still have it, like sitting around the house, and I don't think
Will Wheaton is
we've used
cool,
it
dude.
Once, and that was before Jaws came out on DVD. Emily had never seen Jaws. It wasn't out on DVD yet, so we rented it on VHS.
You mean Jars?
Take a look. It's in a book.
Nobody
reading
knows what
Rainbow.
That is except Mrs. Doyle and myself.
Dude, I watched. PBS was my thing when I was a kid.
I watched a lot of PBS. A lot of PBS.
A lot of Transformers, G.I. Joe, and PBS. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Now I just drink PBR.
Yep. PBR.
Yeah. What was PBR and Guinness was what was going around on Friday.
I love PBR. PBR is good beer. Mm-hmm.
You know, I gotta send another shout out to a restaurant before I forget.
Pretty
when we were
bad
at the
rubbish.
At the what was the Dublin City.
Dublin City.
They got some pizza. And I don't know for sure because I was drunk, but I think I have a new favorite pizza.
Really?
That pizza was excellent. They put like this sweet basil in there.
It's good, but I don't know if it's my favorite pizza of all time.
No, no, in town. Good. In town. It ranks up there, I think. But it was
Lodo's
drunk pizza.
Still open or not?
Is what?
Lodo's, lower downtown. They were only open for a little while.
I don't know.
It was good, huh?
It was very good. They closed already. Man, it sucks.
All right, shot. We mentioned.
I'm stealing this one. Another. There's some beer. Let me load you up.
Yeah, you better fill me up.
I'll drink some water.
Fill me up.
Mm-hmm.
What movie was that?
Fill me up.
Oh, it was the one with Matthew Broderick.
Yes. Election.
Election. Yeah. Come on, fill me up. Fill me up. His wife was like the total prude. All the time she'd have
Reese
sex when she was trying to get pregnant.
Yeah,
so she's
like
come on, fill me up. Fill me up. And then she'd hold her legs there.
She did a whole legs there. And, like,
yeah, and then he's sitting there with this look on his face, like, what the.
Nice.
Yeah,
I didn't see.
I remember that. That was a funny movie. When he gets out of that car, when she gets out of that car, and he heaves that milkshake at her at the end. that's a classic.
Spoiler, man.
You never seen it?
I don't remember this one. No.
Election.
Dude,
Reese Witherspoon.
Matthew Broderick. Reese Witherspoon. Who's the
winging
guy?
A milk? I'm sure it's not as bad as spoiling Shutter Island for Jamie. Though.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
no,
that's harsh, man.
Has anybody seen Shutter Island yet?
I have not. I want to though.
You know, I've heard good and bad things about it, but, you know, yeah, it's a genre picture in terms of thriller, psychological thriller.
Here's film noir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's Leonardo DiCaprio, who's a fantastic actor.
Right.
It's Martin Scorsese, who I'd watch his worst film before I'd watch a lot of people's best films.
Yeah, true that. True that. He's
pretty
awesome.
Dan.
Yeah. You know, Dan, you had mentioned something about 3D movies. You wanted to talk a little bit about 3D movies. Have you guys seen any 3D movies at all?
I saw Avatar on January 1st.
Saw Avatar.
Yeah.
My first experience was Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. Not the greatest. Nightmare Before Christmas was cool in 3D, but not the best, because it wasn't filmed in 3D. It was one of those that was applied.
Right.
Yeah, they put it in the computer and made it
3D. That's my problem with 3D right now. I don't know if anybody agrees with this point of view, but it. Like, the latest news, if we go back to Clash of the Titans that's opening on April 2nd.
Right.
It had an original opening date of March something. I don't remember exactly what. But they bumped it back because they wanted to 3D-ize it.
Hmm.
They wanted to apply 3D to it because of the success that Avatar has had. Hmm. And the success that Avatar has had...
It's because it was
made shot from in 3D.
The first, I would say, the first 6 weeks of Avatar's success was financial success was the upgrade from price 2D to 3D.
Right, it's
now,
true.
Since then, the news has come out that it has surpassed the first run ticket sales of Gone with the Wind.
Okay,
adjusted for inflation.
Right,
it's pretty fantastic.
But if you look at the dollars nowadays, post, you know, breaking that record, the dollars it's making them off of the 3D glasses. And I think right. we're actually lucky to have Avatar when we did, because the theaters were all expected to pay the cash up front to upgrade theaters to be able to show 3D movies.
I gotta say, now, are you saying that 3D is like, do you need it? Or what are you trying to say about 3D?
My personal view?
Yeah.
I think it's a gimmick.
I gotta say, what I used to think that.
I think it's a gimmick unless you do it right. Jim did it right with Avatar. They are not doing it right with Clash of the Titans. They're doing it totally wrong. You do not 3D eyes something. Right. You shoot it in 3D.
It's the same way with
if it works out though. Go ahead, Jimmy.
No, it's the same way with IMAX. Like, you know, there's plenty of theaters that showed The Dark Knight in IMAX, which was like a third larger than a regular screen.
Right.
That's not IMAX. IMAX is two frames of 35mm film next to each other in width. That's
they
what
did,
makes it
however,
IMAX.
With The Dark Knight, they shot several scenes, not the entire movie.
Like scenes.
Transformers 2.
If you have the Blu-ray.
The forest scene has about 3 or 5 extra minutes of scenery that was created
in
the IMAX format.
Right.
The reason
and you can
that
tell
they
that
don't,
on the DVD.
The reason they don't shoot the whole thing in IMAX is because you only get 30 seconds of film per reel on IMAX in an IMAX magazine.
Right.
So in order to film straight shot 5-minute dialogue in IMAX, ain't gonna happen.
Right.
You know, it's got to be cut into 5 or 6 different shots,
which
you can lose a lot of.
Right. Which is why things like the Red One with its 4K, which is bigger than IMAX,
right,
is such a big deal. Is because you know now you can shoot that digitally and you have essentially unlimited storage, you know,
right,
as much as you can afford. So, and that's, but you know, like, I'm with you about the 3D is a gimmick if it's applied after the fact. It
right.
needs to be shot specifically
in 3D. I disagree. You can go in and take, I would pay to see Star Wars in 3D. I know
it
back
like
in 07, they were going to, not necessarily,
the original stuff would look like crap, but then once George starts to tinker again and
makes
things in the 3D style, if he inserts scenes again,
if you take it and put it in the computer and are able to make things pop and make things work, I really think that I'm not going to put it down until I see it.
Yeah.
If it sucks, it sucks, you know. But I would plop down the $9-$10 to go see Star Wars in 3D. I would. I was hoping that was going to happen in 2007 when they said they were going to release all three, and then and then McCallum said nope, not going to happen.
Right.
No, they were. I think they got wind of what Jim was going to do with Avatar.
Well,
and
yeah,
they used him as their experimental.
Well, Avatar
ground.
Was the first 3D movie that to me didn't feel gimmicky.
It wasn't junk thrown at you intentionally to go, ooh, look at this. Or it wasn't boobies flapping in your face like My Bloody Valentine just for the sake of 3D boobies flapping in your face for four minutes solid.
I got to say that, you know, as 3D technology goes, it's not the worst use of it.
No, absolutely not.
But that's probably the first movie where I felt like I was actually in it, though. I mean,
in
to
the
be
movies?
Honest,
in the
Oh, in the movie.
With the Avatar.
Yeah.
I mean, actually,
no,
I mean, those
immersive.
Those forest scenes. I mean, you literally felt like you were in that scene.
Where I
mean,
jumped in was when you saw them very aliens.
Tony, you gotta go see it.
Was the very beginning of the movie where they're on the ship and they're waking up and they're emerging and you can see miles down the ship and all these people floating around and doing their thing. That's where I felt like I was a part of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think 3D should only be applied. 3D should never be applied.
Give it a chance.
3D should be built.
Give it a chance. Give it a chance. I didn't think that.
Oh, absolutely. Go
Nightmare Before Christmas was horrible. I mean, I don't. When they went back and added it, I think they did a pretty good job. I think that I would pay to see other movies that they've gone back and applied it to, easily.
I agree.
But
the ash falling, I agree with that.
But you know, the first movie that I felt in 3D that was pretty awesome, other than Avatar, Meet the Robinsons. It was a crappy Disney movie, but the 3D effects, we saw it in 3D at the theater. That was the first one to make me go, "Wow!"
Did anyone see Coraline in 3D?
What?
Coraline?
Oh yeah, Coraline was awesome in 3D.
Yeah, and see, well, animation works inherently in 3D because they can generate it
on the fly.
On the fly in three dimensions. But the problem I have is when you look at when they go back and they do non-computer generated stuff.
Well, Coraline was not computer generated.
No,
it was those were puppets. Those were.
So did anybody else smell burning ember during the ash scene though in Avatar?
Why did you fart?
No. I'm just reading our chat, and then I agree with that. When the ash was falling, I swear to God, it's like I could almost smell burning ember.
Back when I had the Frightmare Forest, there was a company in Chicago that would create scents for indoor haunted houses.
Nice.
One of those was like burning ember. One of them was like pine forest, you know, and like death.
Yeah,
and
you
like
can a smell add of scent death to your fog.
But Mellovision.
I think I was just was so I was so tricked into believing that I was in that movie at that point though.
You could smell it.
Yeah, I mean, just
be cool if they did the Smellovision on top of it.
They're working on it. Smellovision has been created
like in the '50s. It was out.
No, it was created just recently. There's this gigantic box with all these chemicals in it, and you attach this thing to your.
Everybody
mustard gas.
Everybody that went to Avatar and watched the Smellovision is now in a cancer treatment.
Kidding.
They're bleeding from their anus.
Yeah, rectal bleeding starts.
It's
not a tumor.
Okay.
He's got to pull your debt.
Get down!
Get down! Get back to the chopper!
I introduced Zoe to the Terminator movies, Terminator 1 and 2. Those are the only ones that matter to me.
One and two.
Predator matters too, though, with, as far as Arnold films is concerned.
Well, yeah, but the Terminator movies, the first Terminator and the second one.
Yeah.
Never watched the third one, so and
Seen the third one?
Never watched the.
There's a lot
Salvation
of people that hate it, but if you watch it for its whole paradoxical value and get that Back to the Future feel out of it, that's.
Yeah.
See, I'd watch the new one with Christian Bale. I'd watch that.
Yeah.
But I will not watch T3. Sorry. I just can't do
Hollywood
it.
Hot Tub. Hogan. No, not Hollywood Hot Tub. Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
It's gotten some pretty kick-ass reviews. We made fun of it
kick-ass
a couple weeks ago.
I'm going to continue.
It's gotten some kick-ass reviews from geeks. They say it was actually very well done. Feels a lot like the way you felt when you saw Hangover the first time. You know, that funny, off your... laugh your butt off. That funny.
See, and I love John Cusack. He has such questionable taste in movies. Pushing Tin, anyone?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, he does not pick the best vehicles for himself.
Paycheck, baby.
Well, yeah, I imagine. Well, I imagine then, Pushing Tin probably didn't make him very much money, as it was so terrible.
Well, when you make a movie, you still get a paycheck.
Well, I know.
Whether the movie makes money or not.
Yeah. But A Hot Tub Time Machine seems like one of those movies that's like, okay, I don't need to go see it. Like Snakes on a Plane. I didn't need to go see it because I knew what it was about. Snakes on a Plane.
No, Hot Tub Time Machine, it actually, the actors, they're all like no big names other than John Cusack and, good Lord, I can't even, Chevy Chase.
Not funny.
Everybody else in it's, you know, actors that have been like second stringers up until this time.
I'm going to give it a chance. I'm going to read some reviews, but Chevy Chase is not nearly as funny.
The review from Ain't It Cool News was fantastic.
O-L-D.
The people that have seen it are saying it's awesome.
All right, I'll give it a shot. I just like Chevy Chase is no longer draw for me.
I love Chevy Chase, man. I watched Fletch last night.
Yeah,
I'm gonna watch Fletch 2 later.
Classic Fletch,
awesome.
Great.
Yeah, read the book. It's a good book too.
Recently? No, Chevy Chase.
Yeah, I don't
Bad
know. On
Chevy
Community,
Chase.
Chevy Chase is really good on Community.
I've heard that also. I just like he and Eddie Murphy. It's like, what have you done to yourself? And
Eddie Murphy. You can't compare almost anybody in Hollywood right now to Eddie Murphy. He's wow. And remember, though, Norbit got nominated for an Academy Award.
Oh, yeah, for the makeup, which was Rick Baker.
Yeah.
Rick Baker is one hell of a guy when it comes to makeup effects.
You gotta say, Rick, man, did you really have to do that?
Paycheck, baby.
Yeah.
Paycheck.
I know.
And Rick and Eddie have done all those movies together. Every movie that Eddie's had a costume on in, Rick's been the makeup artist.
Yep.
You just wonder, at some point in time, is it the money and, like, the sycophants that say, like, you're just so wonderful that you start to actually believe, like, that everything, every idea you have is golden. Like, there's nothing wrong with anything you have. And then you get things like Norbit.
Or was he
dropped on his head
Pluto Nash.
As a child, and brain damage is just now starting to appear?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. I just remember Eddie Murphy raw.
Yeah.
And now this stuff.
Yeah.
And I compare that to Ice Cube in NWA to Ice Cube now, you know, in babysitting movies. Come on.
Yeah.
I like the Ice Cube that was talking about, you know, rolling up and busting a cap on someone and I got to deal with him.
There's Friday and then there's whatever the hell that movie was.
Yeah.
You don't even know the name of it.
Kid Plays something?
No.
Kid in Play.
Kid in Play.
Are we there yet? Isn't it Are We There Yet?
Are We There Yet?
Wait, come on. Kid in Play. Wasn't that two guys?
It was two guys.
Yeah, I
know. Hot Tub Time Machine reference.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
For those of us that
you
haven't
got,
even
hey,
seen
hey,
it
just
yet.
Like Kid in Play. That we saw the trailer. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Red Bar trailer. And we saw the Red Bar trailer for Kick-Ass. Kick-Ass is going to be a cool movie. If you like violence and comic books and sex.
So has anyone seen...
A teenage masturbation.
Cop Out yet?
No, I have not seen Cop Out yet. But I love Kevin Smith and his movies.
I love Kevin, but I don't look at it as Kevin's movie.
It's not a Kevin Smith movie. He didn't write it. He had no touch... He didn't touch the script at all. He was a director.
And he had no control.
He obviously didn't take a plane there to direct it, so... Sorry.
Wow. I gotta say, though, Kevin was gracious enough. He found... There's a story about... how Kevin finally got on a plane to go home.
Yeah.
And he sat next to a large woman, and they did the same thing to her just after he had the same ordeal.
Yeah.
And he hunted her down, and she got a hold of him and interviewed on this modcast last week.
It really kind of makes you feel, as
a scrawny individual myself,
I feel a little bit bad,
but...
Yeah.
You really don't. You can look at Southwest.
As a frequent traveler, I know what it's like to sit
next to the fanny.
But there's still a person. There's some dignity there. There's a line you just don't cross.
There's still a person, too.
That's just
Kevin
not
Smith
right.
is
I'm
not
sorry.
Can't fit in an airplane seat big. Like, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
But he is not can't fit in an airplane seat
right.
comfortably big.
Yeah.
Like, I've sat next to dudes like that. Like, they have to have the armrest up, and, like, they're into my seat.
Right. But there's options on a plane. I mean, sit them in an exit row. Sit them in, and you know, there's a lot of the rows that maybe only have two seats instead of three.
As long as people don't mind if people lean up against me or put their head on my shoulder. I kind of like it. As long as you don't have lice.
Yeah.
You know?
My thing with Kevin
Smith. Need a little love.
Chad,
he is not known as
a
visual guy.
Love on a plane.
Like, he's not a great director.
Yeah.
And he's the first guy to say that. He's not a visual stylist. So they
look at Mallrats.
One shot, two shot.
They hired him to be a visual stylist. And I'm like, really?
You hire Kevin to write for you.
Right.
Yeah.
I would like to see him write a superhero movie that actually gets made.
I want to see Red State.
Yeah.
I want to see Red State.
What
get
is
made.
Red State?
Red State is his horror movie that he's trying to get funded. The Weinsteins told him no. And so he's actually thinking about, because he's taking it a little bit far.
Yeah.
Because it's Kevin.
Yeah.
You know, I can only imagine what he did.
Did he write The Green Hornet or not? Or?
No, he ended up getting dropped from the deal. He also wrote a script for Superman, got dropped from the deal.
Yeah, I knew he did the Superman, but yeah.
Filmed a Prince movie, got it dropped.
Yeah.
You know,
I
those
love
of us that have
Kevin
seen
Smith.
An evening
yeah.
will know all those stories, but The Green Hornet thing is actually filming and will be
Seth
out in
Rogen.
December.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it.
You don't get it?
No, Seth Rogen and whichever Asian dude they
Jackie
got.
Jackie Chan.
Inside. Is it Jackie Chan for sure?
Is
I thought Jackie
old?
Got dropped.
No, yeah,
I thought it was
somebody
John...
got dropped.
Oh, is it the new guy that's like the new Jackie Chan?
Yes, I believe
it's
it is.
The guy that played Storm Shadow in G.I. Joe. Not that dude, is it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll
Storm
look
Shadow.
Up
wasn't
we'll
Storm Shadow
it
Ray Park?
No, Ray
no,
Park
was Snake
Eyes.
Snake Eyes,
yeah.
Again, I haven't seen the movie yet.
Geek cred.
I mean, the whole Storm Shadow getting cut in half.
G.I. Joe
hello.
Movie.
Storm Shadow getting cut in half. Hello.
I have never seen G.I. Joe.
A throwback to.
I have not seen G.I. Joe.
Darth
and
Maul
I don't
getting
plan
cut
on
in
it.
Half. I mean, yeah. Reversing the role. I mean, that was such a.
Oh,
play.
But then there's the Star Wars EU that brought Darth Maul back with robotic legs.
Yeah, dude, this. I've got a picture of it over there. Over there, right now.
The robotic leg.
The robotic
Darth
leg,
Maul.
Darth Maul. Yeah, he's in the. It's in there over there. Just grab it. It's next to the Return of the Jedi script. It's pretty kick ass.
The Return of the Jedi. Oh.
Yeah, it's right there, middle shelf next to Beast. There's a Star Wars comic.
Did no one else notice that in G.I. Joe except me? Come on.
It's Star Wars Visionaries.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh.
Here, I could flip you right
dang
to the page.
Spoiler.
Well, that's all right.
Somebody gets cut in half, really?
You've seen G.I. Joe.
No, and I don't plan on seeing it either. I'll watch it on Netflix streaming when it gets there next week. I don't know if it'll really get there or not.
Yeah, Scarlet is right.
Well, yeah. Scarlet in a latex bodysuit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Really?
And also...
here you go. Hold that up to the camera. Darth Maul and the robotic body. Kicks,
the Baroness
kicks
also.
Butt.
Oh, yeah.
The Either Baroness one. Was pretty hot.
I had when I was like 8, 9 years old, I had a huge crush on Lady J.
Yeah. Lady J. Is she like the one that...
She was the one that didn't make it in. She was the
she was the short-haired one with the staff.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the biggest crush on her when I was like 8 or 9 years old.
Cool. So. Cool. Now, before we wrap it up, Sunday.
Yes.
Sapadapaso Irish Hooli.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of the Sapadapaso St. Patrick's Day Parade is coming up a little over 2 weeks, right?
Yep. That's correct. It's on a Wednesday this year. This is our big fundraiser to help fund the parade. We do an Irish Hooli every year. It's just a boisterous party. We do it at the Knights of Columbus, number 909 on A Avenue, right next to St. Luke's. Starts at 2 p.m. till 6 p.m. $5 for adults. Lots of food and drinks available for purchase. Awesome door prizes. Awesome raffle prizes. And we're actually going to do a silent auction this year, which will feature some Rise Above leathers. I'm doing actually a Celtic belt, nice. Donating Ooh. To the club for a silent
Any
auction Celt item. So
in the auction at all, or
I don't know that yet.
I need something for the big gig on the 17th.
Sportskilts.com.
There's going to be a lot kilt. Of.
I love my sports kilt, man. Shut up. Anyway,
I would ask if I could borrow it, but I'm
Kilts
sure it's a bit too big.
Entertainment, as always, by our good friends Wild Nept.
And,
so
yeah, Wild Nept, and that's who's going to close the show tonight.
Perfect.
Good
lead-in. So come on down this Sunday.
So I hear it's a family show there, Chuck. What you define family show?
Define family show. I would say family show is that kids can pay to get in, but the kids can't pay to drink. So
there will be drinking involved.
And there will be drinking involved. Okay. Yes.
What kind of entry fee for the kids?
I think it's $2.
$2
under,
for kids under
over
14,
12
I think.
And over,
yeah,
something
like
that.
12 and under is
there's,
$2.
There's more info.
Under, I think it's
on
free
the Sapadapaso website, and you can go
for
to
a certain age.
Yeah. You can go to thecanmanshow.com, click on the show notes, and I'll have a link right to the Irish Hooli information.
There you go.
Thanks so much for listening. And Ugly Mrs. Finn, Wild Nep, buy their music, buy their CDs. Check out their website, wildnep.com.
And see us on St. Patrick's Day.
See them on St. Patrick's Day and at the Irish Hooli. Enjoy. There we go. Here we go. Now enjoy.
Woo!
March morning across the miller's moor, my shepherd dog Clancy on a distasteful chore. My mother sent me out with some soup for Mrs. Fenn, whose husband fell on his dickie and couldn't get up again. St. Patrick lead me to the gate, St. Peter let me in, for I don't want to see the face of ugly Mrs. Fenn. She comes from France and she wears pants and smells like fishermen. St. Patrick lead me to the gate, St. Peter let me in. I knocked 3 times and Mrs. Fenn opened up the door. A nasty, uglier hag I had never seen before. She had hairy moles and blackened teeth and weighed 900 pounds. Poor Clancy took one look at her and fell dead on the ground. St. Patrick, lead me to the gate, St. Peter, let me in, for I don't want to see the face of ugly Mrs. Fenn. She drinks from kegs, has hairy legs and a hideous devil's grin. St. Patrick, lead me to the gate, St. Peter, let me in.
she took the soup from me hands and bid me to come in. It might make me husband smile if you paid your respects to him. So I took off me cap and coat and walked over to his bed. He whispered to me, "Closer, lad," and this is what he said. St. Patrick, lead me to the gate, St. Peter, let me in, for I can't stand another day living with Mrs. Penn. Me, I'll look as if he nary a stimmy, sweet drunken wedding friend. St. Patrick, lead me to the gate, St. Peter, let me in. I felt so sorry for the man, I started in to cry. I reached into me pocket for me traveller or I. We drank and we cried together till our eyes were red and sore. We got so drunk that we couldn't see her ugly face no more. St. Patrick, lead me to the gate, St. Peter, let me in, for I don't want to see the face of ugly Mrs. Flynn. St. Patrick, lead me to the gate, St. Peter, let me in, for I don't want to see the face of ugly Mrs. Flynn.
Ah, she's ugly.
Thank you again for listening to The Can Man Show. Please check out our website at www.thecanmanshow.com.
Can you do that again? Can Man! Can Man Show!
I can try. Let's see.
I love The Can Man Show. I love The Can Man. Don't you know? Download it on iTunes. That'd be sweet. Need some traffic. I can't.
Wouldn't that be neat?
There we go.
Bacock!
Yeah!